Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan for foreign affairs. He's going to talk about General Stanley McChrystal's resignation. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Mayor Bob Kroll, L.A. Lopez Bolin, and Scott Craigie. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
When you're wrongfully injured through no fault of your own, life can be tough.
Oasis Legal Finance is the number one choice to provide clients the money they need for bills and living expenses long before their case may settle. Call Oasis now. If you're approved, you could have a check in as little as 24 hours. The phone call is free, the application is free, and there's no obligation to repay if you lose your case. Call Oasis now.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan on national security affairs. Pleasure to have you on the program again, sir. General Stanley McChrystal, what in the world was he thinking?
It's hard to fathom. It was a colossal mistake of judgment on his part to grant a reporter from Rolling Stone magazine such access, and particularly to informal meetings of his staff that occurred outside the country in Paris, and to be privy to remarks about the civilian leadership that were really not appropriate.
You know, Stanley McChrystal is a brilliant man, and singularly focused on what he's doing as far as his work is concerned.
Correct.
He gets about 4 hours sleep, only eats one meal a day, runs 7 miles a day. There was a huge 60 Minutes piece on him about a year ago. What was he thinking in real terms? Because he knew exactly what was going to happen once this reporter left. I mean, I understand that most of the remarks were made within the first 24 hours, but there is a press officer that was assigned to this high-level group. He knew what was going on. In fact, that guy has already resigned.
Yeah, he was a civilian. I don't think he received good advice. I really don't believe that General McChrystal had some sort of a plan in mind, that he was going to plant some ideas with a reporter that would somehow force the administration to be more stronger in support of his plan in Afghanistan. I think it was just an ill-thought-out permission given to a reporter from Rolling Stone, and he did not have good trained public affairs officer advice, just the civilian who came on late.
You know, it struck me, and maybe I just got a devious mind, that General McChrystal was trying to send a message, but I'm not sure what the message was.
Yeah, I'm Not sure that he was trying to send a message. There are some that have speculated that in reality he saw things going downhill in Afghanistan and was
going. Because things are not going as well.
They certainly are, and that's why we have the dispute within the administration that we have. That he is just plotting his exit so that he'll be able to, say, run for president in 2012. Well, little I know of General McChrystal, I don't think that that sort of foresight or sort of nefarious planning was part of this operation. It was just something that was not well conceived.
You are very close to a lot of high-ranking former military officials. What are they saying about this? Are they shocked? Are they surprised?
They are disappointed and shocked, and it's the death of a great warrior, leaving the
metaphorically.
Leaving the stage in such a very a disgrace, because he did insult the president, the vice president, the national security advisor, the special envoy Richard Holbrooke, and a number of others, and it's not the way you would like to see such a wonderful, glorious career end.
He didn't take anything back either.
He apparently had the opportunity to review the article, and he and his staff did not ask for things to be changed. That's one story. I think some of the staff said, "Oh my God, we didn't realize that you were taking notes," and he said, "I'm sorry, it was on the record." I think those staff comments they would like to have seen dropped out.
Yeah, the editor-in-chief made it very clear that when Rolling Stone does a piece like this, that it's always on the record, and there's never any discussion of it being off the record, and that's known. They would rather not do the story than going there off the record. All right, let's talk about Afghanistan. There was a major story published in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago that, going back to the 80s, that apparently we and the Russians have known about perhaps as much as $1 trillion worth of minerals and metals are there in Afghanistan and could totally change the country. But there are a lot of people, yourself included, who do not think that this is really what it appears to be.
Well, those were studies done by the Geological Survey, and certainly Afghanistan, like any country, is going to have extraordinary riches because they've never really been tapped. The Chinese have had the foresight to get in there and work very hard to exploit some of the mineral deposits, particularly on copper. What was interesting about this report was not so much that there's potentially $1 trillion worth of reserves, but it does include some rather unusual minerals such as lithium and the rare earths, which are fairly limited and going to be in greater demand in the future. Some have speculated that the release of this information was designed to help justify a prolonged U.S. presence in that country because ultimately it would pay off. I don't think so. This report essentially has been around for some time.
One of the things that goes along with this is that a lot of these minerals and metals are located in Taliban strongholds.
Yes, in the southern areas toward Kandahar, and this would in some way say if the government could assert control over those areas and begin to bring in foreign companies to exploit the riches, it would certainly be the ferment that from which a government could build a strong economy in that country. But and realistically, we're talking 20 or 30 years down the line. Are we prepared to stay in Afghanistan for that period of time?
Well, we look at Korea, we look at Germany, we look at Japan, we're looking at Iraq. Maybe we do have that kind of time.
37,000 troops still in Korea. Some people are wondering why. We do have a large presence in Japan that is not conducive to better U.S.-Japanese relations, particularly our presence on Okinawa.
We are moving that base, though.
Moving the base, or not moving the base. That's what caused the premier to have to resign, prime minister. And we do have a significant presence in Iraq that we've committed to drawing down. But we still are, the Army in particular, is heavily deployed overseas.
All right, let's take a break while we take up when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
You're driving along, and out of nowhere, boom, there's a billboard. Free fruitcake plus a pooch equals a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
Plus some tax.
Everything has a beginning. Take rodeo. You're a rancher. There's work to be done, so you start that wild colt. It becomes a challenge, a competition. It becomes rodeo. The Reno Rodeo. 10 days and nights of high-flying, gritty, real Western fun. Join us June 17th to the 26th for the wildest rides on the planet. The best seats are going fast. Call or log on today. The Reno Rodeo, 7 p.m., June 17th to the 26th.
Now, bull riding, that was just a dare.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Which brings me to my world, radio. Kick it. Swindle Frog Ripoff ain't no jive. You get a year's worth of free fruitcake, a Fuji, and a family health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Just question the company and their plan.
This segment brought to you by Kempfer Kroll, the law firm to handle your business needs. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs, Ty Cobb. Let's wrap up on Afghanistan here in a couple of different places. One, the mission really was originally was to get rid of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda for the most part is gone. They're in Pakistan, they're in other places around the world. We're now fighting the Taliban, but the way we're doing it, you know, we're paying off people to be supportive of us, which is the way the Taliban operated. So if the Taliban gave them $10, we give them $100 or on our side. What are we really trying to accomplish at this point?
The strategy that General McChrystal, with General Petraeus's approval, has been following is a big shift away from destroying the enemy by heavy firepower, and that is working with the populace to build a stronger nation and build up the Afghan army and the Afghan police. We have to say we've been very disappointed to date in the performance of the Afghan National Police in particular, and to a lesser extent the Afghan Army. The plan is to build a nation, to reduce our presence in terms of indiscriminate firing, knocking down doors. In fact, the military is awarding medals for conspicuous restraint and not using force when you go into a difficult situation.
But what are we really trying to accomplish? I mean, why should we be nation building in Afghanistan? Why should we be putting our military in there and our money in there when the Afghans are not prepared to take care of this themselves?
Well, that's a big question. The preference is to assist the Afghans build a stronger nation that can be a bulwark against the Al-Qaeda moving back in as they did and when the Taliban took over around 2000. It's a very difficult strategy. It's not been accomplished very successfully in many places, perhaps Malaysia and the Philippines, and that's the model that the counterinsurgency experts have us following. But you're right, it's a long-term process. We've been very disappointed. The corruption remains rampant. Karzai is a weak leader in...
And a crook.
Yes.
And he stole the election, and we just kind of went right past that.
And General McChrystal was very supportive of Karzai, which...
And vice versa.
Raised a lot of eyebrows. So it's a controversial mission that's going to require a long-term time investment, a big commitment of U.S. forces, particularly the Army, and several billion dollars a month of investment.
So do you think that General Petraeus is still going to want to go along with Obama's plan of pulling the troops out starting next year?
That's going to be a real critical decision. General Petraeus is on record saying in the Oval Office meeting, yes, I concur with the decision to begin the drawdown in July of 2011. The key words are if conditions permit. Some people feel that General Petraeus will do an analysis next spring and say conditions do not permit more than a token withdrawal. In fact, since it worked so well in Iraq, I am proposing another surge of American forces in Afghanistan.
You know what would end our involvement in Afghanistan? A draft.
It certainly would. We don't have the populace out on the streets. We have nothing like Kent State. We don't have the demonstrations at Cal Berkeley or the Eastern universities, because the youth of today are not subject to the draft. It's an all-volunteer army, and it's surprising in this that the Army is able to meet its quotas despite what this means for those coming in.
Our bigger problem is truly in Pakistan, correct?
That's absolutely. And what whether the Pakistani government, particularly the intelligence service, the ISI, will be stronger in its pursuit into the Fatah, the tribal areas, against known insurgent strongholds, or will the intelligence agency continue its long association with the Taliban?
Well, the other thing, too, is that people really don't bring up, which is the real problem that exists in that part of the world, is India and Pakistan.
The Pakistani government is primarily concerned about its relationship with India. The dispute over Kashmir is first and foremost, and that's what the Pakistani armed forces have been devoted to thinking about. They haven't really been a counterinsurgency force going after the insurgents in the tribal areas in the mountainous regions. And they have fostered the support of the Taliban in Afghanistan so they can shore up that flank.
What is the benefit for the Pakistani government to help us? Is there a benefit to them? Because don't they have their own problems with their own people? The more they try to help us, the more problems they create for themselves.
Exactly. And I think if you're a wise Pakistani leader, you might just say, I'm not sure about this American commitment. Are they really going to be here 2 or 3 years from now? But the Taliban will be, the Afghan situation will be there, the India dilemma. Let's hedge our bets and continue to work and nurture the Taliban so they're our closer allies.
So bottom line, what is the benefit for the United States in total to be there?
The goal is enunciated by the Obama administration. Remember, President Obama was very strong in support of the Afghan war, not the Iraq war. But the idea was to build a country, hopefully democratic, that would be a bulwark against not being a staging area sanctuary for the Al-Qaeda and Taliban and other insurgencies.
With our drone capability, and that's going to be increasing over the next few years, isn't that really where we should be putting our resources?
That's what Vice President Biden is saying. It's a counterterrorism strategy. He's saying basically, let's can this idea of nation building and let's just draw down our forces and just be able to strike at them. Obama and particularly the CIA under Leon Panetta has been very aggressive in the drone strikes, even into Pakistan. Some people have called this targeted assassination. So it's an ironic thing where the civilian leadership, Obama and Panetta and the CIA, are being very aggressive in their bombing and their strikes, while the military strategy on the ground has been to exercise restraint.
Last quick question. Is this a demotion for General Petraeus?
No. No matter who becomes his boss, technically, at CENTCOM, General Petraeus will be running this war. I think it's a recognition of the skill that he brought to the Iraqi situation, and that he was the only person right now that the American people and the troops would have faith in stepping in.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you, as always, for being here. We appreciate your great knowledge on this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
On the next Face to Face, we'll put Harry Reid's new ad targeting Sharon Angle through a reality check. Did she really compare Social Security to welfare? Find out on the next Face to Face.
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. And life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better.
And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
You've heard Sharon Angle wants to wipe out Social Security. Now she says it's like welfare.
My grandfather wouldn't even take his Social Security check because he said he was not up for welfare.
Welfare?
The money that people have invested in Social Security all their working lives is their money. To call it welfare is just plain insulting.
Sharon Angle would end Medicare and Social Security.
People depend on these checks. It's their livelihood. It's their food. It's prescription drug costs. This is crazy.
For four generations, our family has been serving you. Bobby Page's Dry Cleaning and Shirt Laundry, where taking care of your cleaning is a family tradition.
Crime Tracker, only on News 4.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Scott Craigie is here with Arbus Consulting, L.A. Lopez-Bolin, community activist. Welcome back to the program. And Bob Kroll, the mayor of Carson City. Pleasure to have you all here.
Good day.
Let's start out with this brouhaha now over the Nevada State Prison. The prison board saying, no, it can't be shut down, and we want to take a look at this. And the governor adamant that he's going to move in that direction. What's your thoughts on this?
You know, the director of prisons is a person who has been entrusted with all kinds of responsibilities, and he has done a hell of a job, if you don't mind my saying it. And frankly, you know, I think what we need to do is leave that leadership in place and let him deal with what needs to be done in that, with that prison. If you close the prison down and you walk away and then you got to go back and refurbish it and redo it, that costs a whole lot of money. Nevada doesn't have that kind of money. And frankly, before they have they need a long-term plan before they walk away from any of that.
Well, he's already starting to move prisoners and move guards already. This is something that the Sage Commission recommended. But it's shaping up to be a giant battle between the executive branch, the constitutional offices, and the legislature.
I know, but we do have to look at cost in this state. There's no way around getting around that. And the prison is so old. I think it was built 1862. And so it's
Scott
not...
Scott was there laying the original...
He was not. But anyway, no offense to Carson City and some jobs that will be lost, but we cannot sustain it. It is not built in a way that's cost effective.
Okay, Mayor Bob, your thoughts? Because you've got to look at this from both sides.
Well, I do look at it from both sides, you know, and being the mayor, it's a little bit more ticklish situation. I think there are three things. One is the budget, two is safety, and three is the effect on your community in terms of jobs and the economics that comes along with jobs. And, you know, from my position as mayor, I can tell you that it is very critical that we maintain the economics in our community. And so, you know, my message to the administration has been make sure that you take that into consideration when you're making these decisions. On a budget and a safety side, you know, I'm not in a position to really know all the nuances there. So, you know, it's difficult for me to make a judgment call as to whether on balance any one of those three issues is the right way to go or not. I will say that, you know, I think that at least the staff of the governor's office has tried to soften the blow, if there is a blow, on the movement of employees to keep as many people who are Carson City residents in their homes in Carson City and just have them have other jobs. And if that is the case, then that definitely is a step in the right direction in terms of watching the local economics.
Okay, one of the other things is that the governor put out a letter yesterday questioning the constitutionality. We talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. Constitutionality of the Interim Finance Committee. What are your thoughts on that and how this could blow up and be quite dramatic?
The Interim Finance Committee has a very major role, and frankly, it has been working.
But is it constitutional?
In operation. You know, you can leave that to someone else to do with, because I believe that the Interim Finance Committee levels out the expenses, gets review of all of the activities that really have to be reviewed by somebody on a regular basis, and to screw around with it would be a mistake, in my opinion.
Okay, what do you think about
and
the constitutionality?
You have to entrust certain groups, and you have to entrust individuals to make decisions for you. And so,
but there are lots of committees and groups that meet throughout the year
that
we don't even hear about. There are so many.
Absolutely, and that's what a person signs up for when they run for office, to be able to manage things for the rest of the people that cannot be there. So to question their authority, to me, does not make sense.
Your thoughts, Robert? Mr. Mayor?
You know, I don't look at it necessarily in terms of questioning authority, but I do think that there's a legal issue on the separation of powers that's there, and frankly, you know, I haven't done enough due diligence on my own to figure that out, but I, you know, on the surface of it, I will tell you that legally speaking, I think there's an issue that's floating around out there that's going to get resolved somewhere.
Where would it go next?
Well, I think that the next step is probably some form of, you know, in terms of the law.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it depends on whether people want to get into that battle in the first place.
I think the governor is looking for that fight.
Yeah.
Where does he go? Does he go to the Attorney General? Do you go to the Supreme Court? Where does he go?
Well, I think you go to the Attorney General first and then see what the analysis is there and get a good solid legal opinion as to what's going on and what your position is. And then that's a district court move. But I don't think he goes to the Supreme Court. And I also think that you need, before you engage in any type of litigation like this or lawsuit like this, you need to look at the not only the legal side of the issues, but you need to look at the practical side of what you're doing to your government in the middle of all this, because, you know, we're in the middle of an economic problem, some would call it a crisis, and to throw another issue on top of that and while we're trying to solve all these things, you know, might be considered by some to be not particularly helpful.
Do you concur, Scott?
I do totally.
But he has bypassed the Attorney General in the past with other issues, so he...
The track record is there.
This is a much larger issue, though, and I think that, as Bob laid out, some serious review should be done, at least, before anybody takes any steps forward.
Which would then get us past the election and...
Well, setting aside the difficulty of the election, the bottom line is that this has got to be well thought out before anybody takes it too far forward.
And that's where we have to leave it. Very good discussion, folks. We'll be right back in Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
When we choose our next governor,
we should remember to ask,
do they have the highest ethical standards? Do they always put Nevada first? We should remember to ask, do they follow their own instincts?
Do they understand that a stronger economy depends on stronger schools?
And do they have a plan to totally transform our schools?
My plans as governor are all about them. And when it comes to their education, I'll never, ever compromise.
Giant tent sale headquarters going on now at Internet Auto Rent and Sales. Get instant approvals on vehicles starting at $2,010 or payments as low as $99 per month. Buy with zero money down and no payments for 90 days. Special financing is available with interest rates as low as 2.99%. No other location sells more pre-owned vehicles in the area than Internet Auto Rent and Sales, your pre-owned headquarters. Hurry in. The first 10 sold get a new Apple iPad at Internet Auto Rent and Sales, your giant tent sale headquarters.
On our next broadcast, we're going to be dealing with topics like economic development, immigration, and sustainable food. We'll see you on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.